This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Everyone, welcome to episode number 83 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
And my name is John, and it is episode 83, not episode 84, because I can't count.
Correct. And we're sitting together because John doesn't have power.
Yeah.
And I just got power back after 3 days.
But even if that wasn't the case, you know, I've been doing some day shifts at the Academy, yeah. So it's nice to be able to sit here and chat about stuff.
I'd rather do them in person anyways than over the Skype because, A, the recording is a lot better guaranteed.
Yep.
Like a couple weeks ago when the recording didn't record. I don't know, it's a lot more fun for the face-to-face interaction.
That's right. We get a lot more chatting done before.
Yeah. So I completely forgot to watch all the DC on CW shows before we lost power and then couldn't watch them.
Yep.
But I didn't know we were going to lose power, so it's kind of technically not my fault.
Right, exactly. It's not like you could plan for something like that. You know, they said that it was going to be a big storm, but they didn't say, hey, by the way, you're going to be out of power for 3 days.
They did say it'd be like 70-mile-an-hour winds. And to be prepared in case you lose power.
It only got up to 69.
I know.
69 below. Dude, did you see some of the stuff, though? Like the back of Hammond Lumber that got sheared right off.
Oh, dude, that was so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was horrendous. And then the roof of the high school got ripped off.
Yeah.
Over the gym roof, yeah.
Yep.
And
this was a bad storm, and this wasn't even snow and ice.
No, this was just literally wind and rain. And like over almost 500,000 people in Maine lost power.
Yeah. I mean, driving to and from the Academy, seeing trees that were uprooted, trees that, like, if I was to stand next to the root base, yes. It would be taller than me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm 6'1", and this is like 10 feet, 12 feet of root base. There's some 20-foot tall tree.
There's this tremendously huge, like, 70-year-old silver maple at my Nana's house, and the big trunk comes up, and then it V's off. The two like trees, so it's a V, and we always call it the photo tree because we stand in the V and take your picture or whatever. It's a beautiful tree and something we've always done. Broke right in half.
Wow.
Yeah, that was like a sad thing when I saw that. I post that photo. I was like, you know, my cousin was like, the photo tree, and I'm like, I know.
Didn't even land on the house.
No, luckily.
Good.
My mom lost two giant trees that luckily fell away from the house. If they would have fallen towards the house, it would have wrecked it.
Yeah.
But we got wrecked.
We really did.
Yeah.
I still don't have power, and it's been, you know, since Sunday night.
Yeah.
So.
This is literally like.
This is Wednesday night, by the way, people.
The worst storm that didn't involve rain or ice or anything like that. That involved snow or ice. Snow or ice that I can think of that we've had. Like
They said that more people lost power and there was more damage done than the ice storm of 98.
Yeah, and that was the biggest storm. That was the storm of the century.
Yep.
When that happened. But, yeah, it's kind of craziness. I mean. So much damage, so much things done. And if you guys haven't figured this out, like we're 911 dispatchers, John and I are, and I've been doing it for 17 years and I've never experienced it that busy as it was that morning when just, there was me and one other guy sitting in that room fielding like a couple hundred 911 calls of people reporting trees down, trees on fire, lines down. I mean, it was nuts.
So glad I wasn't there. I mean, not to put that on you, but I'm just, I was so glad I was not there.
It was crazy. It was crazy. But
but
that's why I didn't get to watch every show we normally watch. So we're not talking about anything DC on CW this week.
Yeah, and spoiler alert, next week's show may be a little light. I mean, they're talking I might get power back on Saturday.
Yeah.
So the scramble to catch up on shows in like a day and a half might not happen.
But we do have some stuff to talk about.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I did watch some shows.
Yeah.
I watched some movies.
It's tradition. I got to do this.
What?
It's tradition. Walking Dead came back.
I can't even put you on mute and go do something else right now.
I've got you trapped. This is what I'm going to say. I had two takeaways from this. Three takeaways. One, there was some really weird stuff going on where we kept getting like these cutaway scenes
yep.
of old Rick. And every time I say that, it makes me want to think of Rick and Morty. You know, I'm Pickle Rick. But this is he's old Rick. And he's like living out this life with, you know, Michonne and his daughter's grown up a little bit and his son's grown up. And there's Weird Al playing in the background for some reason. But
so they're all alive old.
Yeah.
So does that spoil that we know nothing will ever happen to Rick and Michonne and the kids?
Or is it like a dream sequence for him? They don't explain that. So that's one takeaway. Number two takeaway is that they are ridiculous about speeches. I don't know what happens in a zombie apocalypse that everybody gets speechwriters, but we had not one, not two, but three different people give big, powerful speeches to the group that was assembled before them. And it was Rick, and then it was Ezekiel from the kingdom, and then it was Maggie. And each one of them gives these empowering speeches about this is our world and we're going to take it. They were way too eloquent and planned out to have been just like thought up. Just like, you know, oh, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to say some inspiring words. No, no, these were planned and everyone's cheering and exciting. I didn't buy it. It's ridiculous. But the number three thing, which was probably the best part of it for the entire show, was they launched an attack on the saviors and they took them by surprise, kind of, except they kind of announced that they were coming, but kind of took them by surprise. And Father Gabriel got separated and everyone took off and he was trying to get away from the horde of walkers that was coming in. And he ran into this small, like the trailers for construction foremen. You know, he ran into one of those and shut the door behind him. And suddenly you hear this voice that just says, I hope you're wearing your shitting pants. And he goes, what? And you see Negan step out and he goes, you're shitting pants. I hope you're wearing them because, boy, you're about to shit your pants.
Okay, that's pretty funny.
I was like, that's great. That's like a Deadpool kind of thing.
That's pretty funny.
So that was a great way to end the episode. But yeah, other than that, it was a lot of, look, they're setting up these traps and tricks and stuff like that. And the one thing that people couldn't get over, I watched it in the after show, I don't remember her name. But anyway, one of the girls was like timing the walker horde walking down the road and she's eating a Twizzler and everyone's like, it has been years, or it has been at least a year, maybe 2 years. Yeah, because Judith's born. She's like 2 years old. She's a toddler. That Twizzler would be gross and stale and hard as a rock. Why is she eating a Twizzler, you disgusting pig? Makes sense.
Does make sense, actually.
So, well, there.
Doesn't make a lot of sense. I feel better. Good.
Hope you're wearing your shit in pants.
Gosh, I am realizing I did not watch a lot of stuff.
You watched a lot of movies, though.
I did. I don't know how. Like, yeah, as I'm reading this list, I'm like, oh, The Blacklist. I remember watching that. What was it about? Do you remember?
See, this is the hard part, is because it's been a little while for me, so we got to look it up.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
While you're doing that, you watched Superstore.
Oh, my God. I laughed so fucking hard on that on this week's episode.
So this was their Halloween episode.
Oh, it was so good.
And it was really – okay, most of it was good. The whole story about Amy – and the Tinder thing and Jonah and the new girl and, you know, she swiped accidentally on Jonah's picture.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't. Yeah, that was what it was. But just the whole dead body in the wall and it's Halloween.
Oh, like legitimately God. A dead body. And Glenn, of course, being Glenn, he's like, we don't know what he was working on. And we just know that he had drilled a couple of holes into the women's locker room. So he was doing something with the plumbing.
Yeah.
No.
No. Oh, and then like, oh, maybe that's whose foot we found. No, that's the thing. It's not.
Whose foot was? They're like genuinely upset because they still don't know who the foot belongs to.
Or like when Glenn's on the PA and he's like, this is worse than any yeah. like haunted house you've ever been to. You don't. Glenn, you're just encouraging them to go look at it. You know, like,
don't go over there. There's something so horrible you'll never sleep at night.
Yeah. Oh, we've got to go see it now. No, I laughed so hard. Dina wearing the same costume from last year.
Not looking as good. For some reason. But, yeah, somebody actually calls her out on it. And she's like, well, yeah, it looks good. Come on.
Yes.
Throw something away like this.
Well, no, she says, it's like, you wear it until it's thread thin or something. You don't throw it out after one wear or something.
That's right.
But her analogy was like, not like, it wasn't a tampon, but it was like, almost like, oh, you don't wear it just once and throw it out.
It was that show just gets better and better. I was telling one of my friends about it the other day. I ran into him at a store, and I was like, look, you work retail. You got to watch Superstore. It's just phenomenal.
No, and the whole Tinder thing was funny, like when the part where he goes, all right, so he goes, I got a friend that works for the NSA. I know I can have him, like, hack into her phone. Da, 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 and she goes like, that's not very helpful. I wasn't trying to be helpful. I love that line so much. He could hack into her phone. Do you really? No, I don't. Well, that's not helpful at all. I wasn't trying to be helpful. Like,
I was trying to fuck with you. And yeah, that's it.
And then when the guy comes up in the morgue costume, yes, and she like makes him move the body and this and that, and his wife shows up in a body bag, he's like, you didn't get the yogurt or whatever.
The guacamole.
And then, what are you doing? Like, oh my God. It was so good. It was so
good. And
funny.
Then the fact that we didn't see what happened, but when Dina's walking in with the real morticians and she's like, you know, sorry for the extra screening, but we can't be too careful. You want to know what she did to extra screen them? But you don't.
Right, yeah.
You know there was something very involved, yes, because it's Dina.
Right. Great episode.
Great.
I laughed.
Episode.
A lot.
A ton.
I laughed a whole ton a lot. Trying to think.
Well, keeping right up on that.
Superstore.
Good Place.
Good Place, yes.
Yes.
Another great episode.
Another great. We finally find out what's wrong with Janet. We get to see the origin of Janet.
Yes.
We get to see Michael steal the Janet unit originally.
And how she becomes who she is and the reason why she's having the defects and the fact that Michael looks at her like a friend. And
yep.
I'm sorry. I love the Janet character.
I do, too.
So much.
And I love the fact that, you know, they were like, why don't you just use an evil Janet? You know, she could do just as fine. Yeah. Well, let me show you this. And then, like, her face melted off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Try to be nice. Bad. She's like,
excuse me.
But it turns out that she's glitching out because
she's in love with Jason.
Yeah.
From a past life, basically.
Yep.
She keeps getting deleted.
Yep. So every time she's trying to be nice to Jason and to Tahani, it goes against her code because she doesn't feel that way. So it's causing her to glitch badly.
Like, yes,
having a thumb float away, and
oh, that was hilarious.
Yeah,
I don't know. The show is just funny.
It's great.
It's funny, and we learn. And Michael's learning to become human, if you will.
Yeah,
because he has feelings for Janet. A friendship.
Yes, I'm glad they're not turning it into a romance. Like if he was like, "But I love you, Janet." Yeah. You
go get one of those toothpicks, paper clips over there, and then stick it in the hole behind my ear, and then push on my nose at the same time.
Yeah, the things that they have to do, like, yes, to recess the Janets or to make them do this or this, is just funny as hell, like tugging on different body parts.
I thought for sure when we went to pick up a paper clip, they'd all be chained together, like the entire giant bowl of them. Why is this like this? Well, we are in the bad place. You know what I mean? Oh, my God. When she walks in covered in needles.
Oh, my God. Like that was his only thing for the whole
thing. She's like, all right, I understand we have to be tortured, but when would we agree to this needles thing? Because this sucks.
That was
so bad.
Because it was like a background gag. You know, hey, we decided on a new way to torture Chidi. Needles. And he's like, yeah, sure, go for it. And he just walks in, he's like covered in needles.
Even my feet.
And then that's it. That's all you get of him the whole episode.
He's like, all right, I understand, Chief. We got bigger things to fry right now. He pushes him out the door. Yeah, that was fantastic.
That was fantastic. So what'd you find out about Blacklist?
All right, so this is the episode where you have the woman who is destroying priceless one-of-a-kind things.
Oh, yes.
And we learn about the RH Null Blood. And yes, that is a real thing.
Yes.
And this episode, basically what it is her son is RH Null. She's RH Null. It's the most sought-after blood in the world because it is literally the biggest universal donor blood. However, they can only get blood from another RH Null person. You're looking that up?
No. I trust you. It's just, I feel like we talked about this episode.
We didn't, I don't think.
You don't think so?
I don't remember. That's the most recent episode.
Okay. Then
that popped up here. I mean, I could be wrong.
No, continue.
I don't know. I thought it was a good episode.
It was a good episode, and it kind of...
Yeah, we did talk about this, because it's... I don't know.
Yeah, because she shot herself, and...
Yeah, so...
Elizabeth's now walking down a bad path, and...
And their doctor friend got killed? Let me.
Yeah, no, the most recent episode was dealing with his funeral.
Okay, then we didn't. That's then that was.
Is that one that you haven't seen?
Oh, yeah, October 18th, October 25th, and there's a new episode. No, I did not see it. Then they don't have the description in it. I didn't check the date.
Ilya Sukhov.
My bad.
Nope, that's okay.
My bad, listeners.
So we won't talk about that one because you haven't seen it and I have. But yeah, it deals with his funeral and a few other things, including Ilya Surkov.
Was it a good episode?
It was a very good episode. I'm really enjoying these episodes. Red expands his business even further.
Yeah.
Yep. So instead of just they touch more upon the male scam and how they've got houses. Now they're going to have a doggy daycare to launder the money.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's funny watching him build himself back up.
After getting torn down?
Yes. He got knocked down, but he got up again.
And no one's ever going to keep him down.
Nope.
No.
Pissing the night away.
Just pissing the night away. American Horror Story Cult. I will say this. The show really does keep getting better.
Really?
I keep waiting for it to backstep.
Yeah.
And like, it's just like not Roanoke so did? Far. Like for, well, yeah, exactly. Or any other season, practically.
Right, right.
I keep waiting for it to do a big backstep because I'm like, it's just too good. But they keep delving deeper and deeper, and the story keeps getting kind of more and more intricate and more, like, confusing, if you will. And they're starting to do that thing where they're killing off main characters that you didn't think they would and things of that nature. I'm just really, really enjoying it.
Hmm.
And I'm surprised I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
I've talked to a few other people that have said, like, this is their best season in several years.
Huh.
Or if I've been in some other chat groups where people are talking about it and saying this is the best season that they've had in a few years and they're really into it. And I don't know.
Maybe I'll end up watching it. I feel like at this point there's an awful lot of episodes to catch up on, but maybe like a binge or something. I still have to watch Stranger Things.
Yeah, I haven't watched Stranger Things yet either.
Yeah. So don't expect us to talk about it. We're not going to just yet, but that's good too, because you know, if we do it like next week, then that gives it like 2 weeks of having been out, right? So people won't be as spoiled.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin it for people, but apparently we just have a lot of stuff to watch between now and then anyway.
Yeah. Did you watch Year of the Worst this week?
This episode, go just talk about it.
This was the episode where Mom was in town, Lindsay's mom, and I want to say Janet, but I'm thinking of Superstore. Lindsay's sister.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Her mom was in town. And so she's all like, they're both competing to be mom's favorite and to be like, you know, oh, look, mom likes me more. Oh, look, I did more things that mom likes. Oh, look, mommy, my life is better. My life is better. No, my life is better. No, my life. And mom doesn't seem to care. And so by the end of the episode, they are watching some old home videos. They're watching old home videos because Vernon realized that their mom was a TV star or a movie star in like softcore, you know, Cinemax type movies.
Yeah.
So they come downstairs and there's Vernon with his pants down around his ankles, jacking it to a video of their mom. They're like, I didn't know mom was still here. I hear her voice. And he's just jacking it. And he's just like turns around and just right all over. Just like.
Just blah, 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 blah. On them?
On her. On his wife.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so that makes Lindsay and Gretchen very happy and laugh at her a lot. But then they're watching the videos and they're watching how mom is like, in all the home videos, she's ignoring them. She's leaving them to their own devices. She's not doing anything to discipline them or help them. So they realize, oh, hey, our lives suck because mom screwed us up. We're screwed up because of mom. It's all her fault. So once again, they're not taking any responsibility. They're blaming someone else. And it was actually a good episode. It was really good. I liked it. For a show that hasn't been that good this season.
They've been doing more and more episodes where not all the cast is involved this season.
Yes. Yep.
It's like, oh, we're going to tell a story about this right now. We're going to tell a story about this right now.
Yep. There was also, I'm not even going to get into it fully, but there was a really, like, rough scene with Edgar and somebody that he knows from his army days. And it was kind of hard to watch how it played out. But I'll let you should watch it and check it out.
Well, we had no new Lethal Weapon.
Right.
The last episode was the Adrian Passard episode, yeah. Which passed on, which was excellent, by the way.
Yeah, because it's an excellent show.
Yeah, exactly. But so we haven't had any new Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Orville's not back yet.
Wrong.
It's telling me.
The Orville just had an episode on Thursday.
Oh, like, okay, right.
Yeah. It was the social media one.
Yes, yes. I have not watched that one yet.
Okay.
The last episode I watched was the Krill episode.
The social media one was I don't want to say unnecessary, but it seemed like a bit of a stretch. It was more that they were trying to make a commentary on modern social media stuff, and they kind of got the point across, but they also kind of failed at it. So it was, I don't know, I think it was one of the weakest episodes they've had so far, which is too bad.
That's too bad.
But
it's a great show.
Yeah, it really is.
Did you watch Inhumans?
No. No, I didn't, because that was on Friday, and I figured I'd watch it on Sunday, and then I lost power.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I will say this to you then. You know how you said last week, fucking humans?
Yes.
You're not going to feel any different.
Oh, good. I like consistency when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah.
I like to know that, you know, if something is really disappointing, that it stays really disappointing. You know, go for the gold. Do what you do well, yeah. And what they do well like, suck.
I'm so glad it's only 8 episodes. Like, I am genuinely so happy it's only 8 episodes. Ugh. I just, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch Gotham?
Yes.
What'd you think?
I'm tired of the show. I'm tired of people who won't die. Did you hear, by the way, that they recast
Poison Ivy, yes.
As the grown girl from Frequency,
yeah,
the failed TV show.
It's... She drank all that poison, and now she's changed again.
Yeah, now she's going to be a full-fledged adult with a dour attitude and pissy facial features.
Yeah.
Why?
I
don't get it. Why are they doing... The show is really suffering this season. Like, their ratings are lower than they've ever been, and the show just really sucks. They're, like, bragging online that they're like, oh, look, we've created a Catwoman-like suit for Selena. Who cares? Next week, you're going to recast her as someone else. You're going to say that she died and one of her cat lives died, and now she's coming back as somebody else. So I'm just about done with the show.
Yeah. The Gifted. The most recent episode from this past Monday, 3 days ago, 2 days ago, I mean. I'm not talking about the week before.
Right.
Did you watch that one?
With my no power? No, I did not.
No, the one from last week.
You just said the one from 2 days ago.
Not the one from 2 days ago, I said.
Oh, see, I heard you say the one from 2 days ago, not a week ago.
The one where they get, not Polaris, not Pulse.
Yeah, Polaris.
Polaris, okay.
Yeah, where she gets busted out.
Where Polaris and Dad get busted out.
Yes.
Did you watch that episode?
Yes, I did.
What did you think?
I loved it.
I thought it was good as well.
Yep. I liked seeing the twins use their powers together. I really wanted them to say something about Wonder Twin powers, but...
Activate, yeah, yep. I know.
Can't,
I wanted to
get everything.
As well. So, what did you... Okay, I wasn't surprised that they finally introduced Inhumans working for them to stop the other Inhumans.
Mutants.
Sorry, mutants.
Yes.
Sorry.
Inhumans are over on ABC.
That's right, I'm sorry, I forgot. I like the fact we can call them mutants. I'm
yes.
just so trained to say
I know.
But anyways, I like the fact that we're seeing mutants working for the Sentinels.
Yep.
Sentinel, whatever it is called.
Sentinel Services.
Sentinel Services, thank you, to stop other mutants.
Yep.
And I fully expected it, though, to be bad guys.
Yeah.
But then they revealed the story of, oh, no, this is a friend of theirs that they thought was dead.
Yeah, what they call like Glitch or something?
Pulse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, he seems to be brainwashed or something.
Yeah.
Because
like something's programmed.
I never thought he was dead.
Yeah.
And they show that at the beginning of the episode.
Yep.
But yeah, he seems to be programmed some kind, and his powers, he can stop
mutant powers,
yeah.
Which we've seen a few of those. There's been a few. Leech was a Morlock who could do that, but he basically had to touch you to take your powers away from you. We've seen that in a few different mutants, though. It's a kind of a cool power. If it gets overused, though, it's kind of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think they did it well here, you know, because it was kind of a reveal. You know, it was like, wait a minute, something's going wrong. This isn't working. Oh, because they've got him there and he's blocking all powers.
Yeah. And again, like I said, I figured we'd see that eventually, but I thought it'd be like just these are bad guys or out for themselves or whatever. Instead, it seems to be a guy that's brainwashed.
Yeah.
So I wonder where that's going to lead to.
Tell me you didn't cringe when Polaris was looking for something metal and he was like, take the pin in my leg.
Oh,
and it like ripped right out.
Yeah.
Like, I think he should have been in a lot more pain.
Should have been
I
a lot more
pain
and he should have been hobbling around. And because, you know, he's missing pins in his leg.
Yeah.
So shit
that
should be messed up.
Ripped out of his body.
Yeah. Shit should be way more messed up than it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But That was still cool the way that she did that.
Yes.
One little pin and she destroyed, kind of like Magneto.
I said, would Magneto use the iron in the guy's blood?
Yep.
The iron in your blood seems to be a little hot. And he was able to like make this little ball thing or little, you know, and it was cool.
It was really cool.
It was very cool. Yeah.
I really liked it. It continues to be a good show.
Yeah, it's not hit that place of, all right, like you said with the Orville this week, they had a bad episode. I haven't seen a bad episode of Gifted yet.
Right.
I haven't seen the Orville, so I can't speak on it, but I don't know. I like it.
Yep. I do too.
I like it a lot. So, this is us.
This is us. Are you finally caught up?
The wife and I managed to sit down and get caught up.
Outstanding. Give me some thoughts. Because we skipped a few episodes.
I'm trying
here.
To think. The most recent episode that we watched, I mean, we're caught all the way up to episode which is called Brothers, and it's where Kate reveals to Toby that she's pregnant. The most recent episode was on Halloween night. I have not watched that one.
Correct. Me either.
So going back to the episode in which Sylvester Stallone cameoed.
Yes. Quite a few cameos in that one.
I thought
so. I mean, he was in there a bunch.
I thought he was going to be a quick cameo. He wasn't. No. He had a part. I thought visually, I'm like, they didn't do very good makeup on him.
No, he looked old.
He looked rough, yeah.
Yeah,
he looked a little rough.
Yeah, rough is better. Yeah. Like, not just old, but rough.
But they revealed to us that Kevin had some major problems with his dad's death that he hasn't dealt with.
Yep.
And it's
major
still
problem with his knee.
Major problem with his knee. The coolest thing my wife and I both agreed about the episode is when they showed them filming that war scene and they're coming to save him because he's like a father to you and on and on and on. And they're showing us them fighting and the green screens in the background and they're going through and it's like, that's how a movie's made.
Yes.
Like, that was so cool. Like
you were on set watching.
Yes. Yeah. Like, that was the thing. My wife was like, oh, that's so cool to see. Like, that's part of how they really film a movie. I'm like, I think it is.
And I love that they not only got Ron Howard, but he just keeps showing up.
Yes.
For like little seconds at a time, I'd be like, "Yeah, that's okay. We're gonna do it again from the top."
Yeah,
and then they cut right away from him.
I don't like how they're making Kevin an addict.
No,
I don't like it at all.
Nope.
I know we're jumping around a lot, but whatever, it is what it is. Kate's pregnant. She's not really going to work out all the time. She's only 6 weeks pregnant. That ultrasound is not a 6 week ultrasound. I hate it when they do that on shows.
Yeah.
When someone says they're 2 weeks pregnant, I don't think they actually are pregnant because you really can't tell then.
No, you could definitely miscarry or, you know,
and
have your period.
You don't typically get an ultrasound at 6 weeks unless you are high risk or...
Which she said she is. Remember, what did she...
Because of her age and her size.
But she had a name for it. It wasn't a necrotic pregnancy, but it was something weird like that, you know.
Yeah.
It was like... Because she was old, you know, she's like 39 or something like that.
Yeah.
So it was high risk because of her age and her weight.
Yeah.
And she's very much against celebrating that kind of stuff because it would be too easy to get hopes up and then have it turn out to be, you know, something goes wrong.
Yes.
And then, you know, what was the point of getting your hopes up and being excited and being happy when things are just going to go wrong? She's got a very negative attitude about it. I mean, I understand there is high risk.
Right.
But she's definitely taking the very negative approach to it.
Do you want to be on the happy bus or you don't want to be on the sad bus? I myself want to be on the happy bus.
I love Toby.
So Kate's at her eating meeting and there's that skinny girl there.
Eating meeting.
I know. And there's that skinny girl that's there.
Oh, my God.
And like... I can totally get why everyone, and they would be like, shut the fuck up.
Right. But Kate's the only one that says it.
Right, right. And Kate's and like, I like, what's your problem with me, Kate? We sit there and you and Toby, great, you're in a relationship and you're happy, but none of us else are. Like,
right.
Okay, well, that's her point of view.
Yep.
My favorite thing is the last thing she screams at Kate is, you suck, and then gets in her car. And I immediately went, they're going to back into each other.
Yeah. Because that's the way that it happens.
Yeah, and they did. And then she's all, like, running over, bitching at Kate. And then she's like, sorry, I'm just... Kate, what's wrong? What are you so upset about? It's just a fender bender, you know? And then, I'm pregnant. Oh, my God. And now she's hugging her. And
now they're best friends.
But that's what happens. Legitimately, when someone tells you, I'm pregnant, people are either, like, really happy for you, like that girl was. Or they're just like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so biology works. Congratulations.
Good job, man.
You're doing the same thing billions of people have done for years.
But I like how Kate tells Toby, like, I told, you know, like...
I told her off. Oh, tell me you killed her.
Yeah, exactly. And then I got into a car accident with you. Oh, my God, tell me you killed her. No, we backed into it. But then I told her we were pregnant. You did what? And it actually really felt good. So I think you can tell someone. And they go to that coffee shop.
True Toby fashion.
And they go to that coffee shop, and he's just like, all right, you can tell everyone, anyone you want in here, and then we can never come here again. You know, and so... What was it? Did he? What song did he play on? It was a Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yeah, it was like Only Want to Be With You.
Can you just please play this song for me? And he's dancing
it's
around.
It's my feel good song.
Feel good dancing around. Oh, I just got to do it. And he's telling everybody, we're pregnant. We're pregnant. It was hilarious.
It was.
It was awesome.
Again, Toby.
Toby fashion. Totally yep. Well done. You know, honestly, I can't tell you if I didn't like any of these three episodes. I just think each episode continues to be better and better.
Yep. But
talking about Jack's dad,
yep,
dying,
yep,
and
Rebecca goes to see him
and brings Kate with her, and he's just like, oh, is that my granddaughter? And that's pretty much the only line he has.
Yeah,
which is kind of, I don't know why. I wanted him to get redemption somehow. I wanted him to be like, I'm sorry, or just something, because like he's meeting this woman for the first time.
Yeah,
he has no idea that they're married, that he has kids, and then the last thing that you know she says is like, your son, maybe you don't care, but your son grew up to be a wonderful man, a wonderful husband, wonderful this and that, and he works hard and supports us and the kids and on and on and on and on. But like, we don't get him saying anything. The only thing he literally says is that my granddaughter?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And I don't know why I wanted redemption for him so bad. I didn't. I don't know why I just did.
I like the fact that they let him stay an asshole right up until the very end. You know, he didn't have the deathbed conversion, and that Jack even knew it. You know, because he was up camping with the boys, and Rebecca like, calls
him. No, I'm good.
Yep, she called the forest ranger because back then there were no cell phones,
right?
And she was basically like, "Yeah, if you can get a message, his father's sick, and I've gone to see him."
And they did the phone patch to the radio.
Yeah, and you're right. He's just like, "Nope, I'm good. He was dead to me years ago. Done." Just like hung up on her, walked away.
So, but she goes and says, Jack's not coming.
Yep.
So, yep. And then of course the big story is they, what's the brother's name?
Randall
and his wife get them a foster kid. 12-year-old girl named Deja.
Deja.
Like deja vu?
Yeah.
And
it keeps going like this.
For those who can't see, there you go. Yeah, because this is not a visual medium world right now.
No, it's not.
It's an audio one.
Sorry, viewers.
Viewers. Yes.
Like, she trusts them, then she doesn't trust them. And then she does, and then she doesn't.
But it's all logical.
For the most part, yeah.
You know, it's logical reasoning. It's not the over-the-top dramatic, like, you know,
cutting all of her hair off wasn't over the top dramatic?
Yes, that was.
Okay.
But I mean, like breaking the TV.
Oh. Okay.
Or running away. Or, you know what I mean? Like, to me, it's
pulling out a knife on them.
Right. It seems like, all right, so she had her mom's cigarettes because she wanted to give them to her mom when she got picked up.
Yep.
And as soon as Randall walked in the room, she's like, don't hit me. Or
right.
Whatever. And then you hear that story later on about how she used to get beat mm-hmm. by one of her foster parents before, you know? And then when she gets into the fight at the bowling alley, which. It wasn't her fault.
No.
You know.
That girl was asking for it. She would pick the fight.
Exactly. And she defended herself.
Yeah.
And then she just assumed, oh, you're going to send me away. I got into a fight because that's what's happened to her in the past. So those things make sense.
Yeah.
Her cutting her hair off, to me, I didn't look at that as a big dramatic thing because I looked at that as like she confided in her a fear. And thought that she could trust her, and that trust was broken when Randall came in to be like, oh, I get stressed out. And the whole story, she comes away with, she told you, like, she,
right.
I think,
not,
you know what I
not
mean?
That she could commiserate with him,
right,
that he understood.
Right. And I don't know why he wants to,
because he's Randall.
Yeah, he wants to connect with her that bad. And so I think her cutting her hair off is just a big F you to.
Yeah. All of them.
Needed to be done, probably.
Yeah.
It's pretty nappy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just, I like the show a lot.
Two things that I don't like that we kind of touched upon. One is that they're making Kevin an addict. Again, out of the blue.
I don't like that at all either.
Seems like it's out of the blue. And two, that final episode called Brothers, we get the thing, you know, about Jack's dad and everything. Yep, and then at the very end of the episode, we get two bombshells dropped on us.
Yep.
No pun intended, because one, he's got a baby brother that's in the back seat.
Yep.
And two, Jack was in Vietnam, and his brother was there too.
A couple episodes ago, we saw he was in Vietnam, because there's a quick scene of him getting off the helicopter.
Right.
But now I was looking at the photo, and they didn't need to focus in on the fact that the guy's shirt said Pearson on it, because just the glasses alone was enough to tell us, because, you know, grown adults wear the same glasses they wore when they were a kid.
Yeah.
They don't change styles or anything.
Well, ever. And they don't generally get better. You know, eyesight is not one of those things that it's like, oh, you'll wear these for a couple of years, you'll be fine.
Yeah, no, not at all. So, anyways, that being said, I wonder why they're adding this to the story, this Vietnam thing.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really seem to coincide with anything going on currently. This is definitely an old past scenario.
I'm thinking what's going to happen is we're going to find out that his brother's death in Vietnam is one of the reasons he's an alcoholic.
Okay.
He feels guilty over his brother's death, and this is why he's an alcoholic.
All right, I could buy that.
That's just my guess, but I'm based on what we've seen of TV shows in the past, and yeah, that would be my assumption.
So I'm still watching The Middle. It's good.
Yeah.
Nothing to write home about.
I just found out that Me, Myself, and I got pulled after six episodes. They're going to let all 13 of them air, but they're just going to air the other ones at a later date. So it's pretty much canceled.
It's done.
Yeah.
The Good Doctor, I've watched. I think I'm caught up there. Maybe I'm not. But again, nothing to get me running. Big Bang Theory, you watching that still?
Kinda.
Yeah. I liked Young Sheldon better so far, just that one episode.
Yep. Yeah, Big Bang doesn't hold enough of my interest each week to really get me excited about it like it used to.
As with the other CW shows I haven't watched Supernatural yet. But you still watch
it? I watched the second episode.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm done.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Finished.
Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot.
I believe I'm behind.
Okay.
What was the most recent episode?
Well, the most recent one was on last night. Okay. The one from the week before.
Obviously, the one we couldn't watch because we didn't have any electricity.
Right.
It's on Tuesdays?
No, it's on Wednesdays.
It's on tonight. Yeah.
So you'll get to see it, but I won't.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. So anyways, but go ahead.
No, I'm thinking, I think that the last one, you must have watched it.
The last one that I watched was one that had the amazing opening. And I don't know if we talked about it at work or on the episode last week, but that amazing opening of him getting the job at Evil Corp and getting everyone arrested.
Yep.
Oh, God, that was awesome.
So basically, it was like 10 minutes before we got the opening credits.
No, literally, it was 11 minutes.
That's right.
I remember, I specifically looked at the timer to see where it was at. But yeah.
And it was awesome. Amazing music. This episode did a lot with music. The score in the background, the soundtrack, I should say, because it wasn't just musical score. It was actual songs. Yeah. You got to watch it. But, yeah, basically, Elliot gets his job at Evil Corp. And he starts, questioning whether or not he should call them Evil Corp. You know, he's like, maybe they're just a thing. You know, maybe it's not that they're evil. They're just, this is what they do. And the evil is how people interpret it. So he's he's not absolving them, but he's saying, you know, maybe it's not that the whole corporation is evil. It's just that there are some people. So we keep seeing these scenes of him presenting. So he presents these things where he's trying to undo what he did.
Right.
So he doesn't want everything to be digitally backed up in this one place where the UPSs could be used as bombs at any point. He doesn't want paper files. Right. He wants them to digitize everything.
Yeah.
So the first guy, he's like, we should do this. And he does a presentation just to the one guy and he gets done.
And he's like, I think actually we did talk about this last week. He had a Google Dolls reunion.
Yes.
Because the most recent episode I just looked up is the one with Tyrell from last Wednesday and I haven't watched it.
Okay. We're really falling behind.
We're great. Sorry, people. We're doing awesome.
This is what happens when you lose power for 3 days and you can't.
Or he's crazy busy at work or whatever. Yeah. But it doesn't matter. We're still an awesome episode.
It was still a phenomenal
episode. Because we find out that I don't remember talking about it, but I do remember watching that, you know, at the end when he goes across the street, essentially, to the FBI safe house where they have a sister living across the street from him, and he goes into the apartment and they see he's in there.
Because he hacked them.
Right, he hacked them.
Yep.
Yeah. Because he's kind of smart that way.
He's very smart that way.
But they still presented, like, even his sister seeing the Mr. Robot side of him and seeing that when he changed, you know?
Yep.
And that's why she got out of there.
God, I love this show.
It's a great show. I can't wait to, yeah. You know what I'm going to talk about now? I'm going to talk about things I know I watched.
Okay.
Or where we're at. Because we're just doing awesome tonight. We'll be better prepared next week. We normally are.
Yes, we normally are. But
I watched a few movies.
Okay.
I watched The Babysitter.
Oh, on Netflix. I'm ready to talk about this.
Oh my God, I fucking loved that movie.
Wasn't that fucking great?
It was phenomenal. It was so good.
It was like an Evil Dead kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, not a parody, but just a fun, funny, gross horror movie.
It really was. Yeah. Yeah. It was a 12-year-old boy and his babysitter. And he's like,
the impossibly cool babysitter.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's because she uses his innocent young blood to.
Apparently a lot.
Because she's I'm not going to say a witch. But basically, yeah.
There's some dark
forces. Yeah, yeah. She uses this book and this dark tome, and you have to sacrifice someone and then use their blood and put it on the page and mix it with the blood of the innocent and blah, blah, blah. And the blood of the innocent is the kids.
So basically, for years, she's been doing this where they invite some loser over, and this group of popular high school kids play spin the bottle and then stab them, kill them, and drain their blood. And then she always puts some drugs in the 12-year-old's drink so that he's passed out and takes a needle and sucks all of the blood of the innocent. And this is how they've gotten, I don't know, what, popular?
Well, people wanted different things. Someone wanted to be popular. Someone wanted this. Someone wanted that.
Right.
It was different for every person. You know, there was one guy that was there. He wanted to be, like, I think a top rapper or something like that.
Right.
And then, so you
Which none of them have actually done this, though.
Oh, these are the new people.
Right.
And then Robbie Amell's character is there. And the only reason why he's there because he wants to kill people.
Yes.
And he likes it. And one of my favorite parts, okay, is when, so they're downstairs and they're doing the spin the bottle thing. And the kids, he didn't take his drugs because he talked to his neighbor girl, who's also 12. And like his babysitter was like his best friend. Like he likes her as a friend.
Yeah.
And she's cool and sticks up for him and is awesome to him. But it's because she's been using him for all these years.
Right. But I mean, she plays the part of the, you know, I'm your cool friend.
Yeah.
A lot.
And of course, there's the girl across the street that he has a crush on and likes, and she likes
him. But they're 12, so it's a little weird to see a romance going on between
them. Especially when they were kissing.
Yeah.
But like, so she's like, oh, you should just stay up and go see what they do. So when she gives him like a shot with the drugs in it, he dumps it out in a plant.
Yep.
And then he wakes up and he goes out, you know, he goes
and
down
to watch them. And that shot of, like, alcohol.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not injection.
No, no, yeah, a shot of alcohol. It's like, here, I'll give you a shot that'll help you go to sleep so that way your parents, you know, blah, blah, blah. So don't tell your parents. And she's like, you're not going to have one with me? So she goes to get her own, and that's when he dumps it out. And he goes downstairs and watches them. And, like, they do the spin the bottle gimmick, and he does make out with – she makes out with the – Yeah, the girl.
The cheerleader girl.
That was pretty awesome.
Yep.
I will say that.
Everyone there thought so, too.
Yeah. And then they kill the guy.
Yep.
The nerd guy. And, like, she stabs him in the head with two knives.
Yeah.
And then, like, they have to, and they have to, like, catch the blood in the cups and on and on and on. And every time the blood splatters on the black guy, it's absolutely hilarious.
What is it, like, 3 out of 4 people, or 1 out of every 4 people has an STD?
Yeah.
Right now, I got 3 people's blood on me. You do the math.
I mean, like, he was great. There's a lot of funny characters, a lot of good comedy in it. There's some great dialogue. You know,
why is he not wearing a shirt?
Yes.
Look at him.
Yeah. That's your first question? I love that he wakes up. Yeah, why is he not wearing a shirt? That's the first thing you want to know. And then later on, when Robbie Mouskater is trying to kill him, and the bully shows up to throw eggs on the house, and he makes him go out and stand up to him.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to kill you, but first, you got to go out here, and you got to, like, stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
Come on, you can't let this kid walk all over you. He's going to be dead in a minute.
Yeah. And then, like, so you want a head – how much of a head start do you want? Seriously? Yeah. I love – like, the kid, the way he's handling himself, it's unrealistic,
but
it's hilarious.
It is.
The way he's accidentally killing everybody. is hilarious.
The one who climbs, the Asian looking girl who climbs under the house to find him.
Yeah, and he's just a
accidentally explodes herself.
What happened? Hey, she exploded. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I got it.
But Bella Thorne having her boob blown off.
Oh,
like,
God.
The fact that she woke up and she was more concerned about that than anything else. Yeah. Like, she's talking about, nobody's going to want to motorboat me.
He's what kind of speed do you want?
The nipple placement is going to be all off. Nobody's going to be able to play with my nipples. They won't have any sensation. Like, she was just going off about this. She was so upset.
But, I don't know. I just thought it was great. I was not a fan of the ending, though.
No. No.
It lost me.
Yep.
And, spoiler alert. When the kids stole the douche's car and then drove it into the house.
That was ridiculous.
Into the babysitter.
Considering that he got it up onto the second floor.
Yeah. Well, no, it was on the first floor.
I thought it was on the second
floor. No, first floor.
You sure?
Yeah, positive. Okay. First floor, yeah. It just... Like, I knew the movie, you have a suspension of disbelief for most of it. And I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
But I really thought it was going to... That part lost me. That was too much.
Yeah.
Too much for me.
Yeah.
Because, like, he basically went to steal a car to drive it into the house to kill her.
Yeah.
To stop her because, well, she'll just use some other boy if you're not going to use me or whatever. And
right.
And then, of course, the ending is she's gone.
Right.
And you get the PS scene at the end of the credits where she's, like, going to stab the cop in the face or something.
When Robbie Bell killed that cop by throwing the fireplace poker through his eye.
Oh, my God, yes.
He's
like, whoa!
Yeah, even he was shocked. He's like, wow!
I liked a lot. I liked everything about this movie.
Except for the end.
Except for the ending part.
But yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun. It was just hilarious. What I needed. Like, it was exactly what I expected.
Yes, when I sat down and watched it at home and I had a bowl of popcorn, I was like, and I needed that.
Yep.
And then I thought, oh, well, I'm going to fall asleep. So I'm going to watch, I'll throw this movie on after I can watch that. So I put on 1922.
Okay.
So Stephen King, based on Stephen King novella, it's on Netflix. It stars Thomas Jane. And basically he and his son... Are you ever going to watch it?
Probably not.
Okay, so...
I haven't had a lot of luck with Stephen King stuff since The Shawshank Redemption.
That's fine. That movie was awesome.
That's what I'm saying, is that was the last good one.
Okay.
I mean, The Green Mile was pretty good.
No, I'm not going to disagree with you. I thought you were saying there was something wrong with The Shawshank Redemption.
Oh,
okay.
No!
Like, I know you better than this.
But, you know, 11, 22, 16,
yeah,
or whatever.
It was good.
It was very good.
The new was very good.
You're right.
Yeah, so anyway, so 1922.
Yeah.
So Thomas Jane Novell, basically this is what it is. You have a husband and wife. They're not happily married. And they have their son who's like 16.
Okay.
And the wife's father dies and she inherits like 100 acres of land. And she wants to sell it to the Farrington Corporation, the big people that come in and do the land. And he doesn't want to. He wants to keep it. He wants the land. He wants to farm it. And basically,
it's Green Acres.
The opposite. She wants to move to the city, and he doesn't. So it's the opposite kind.
Okay.
She wants to open a dress shop. So essentially, he talks his son into killing her, and so they kill her and they hide the body. And then basically, just everything goes downhill from
there. Was she a mean mother, or was his son just really that gullible? Mike, how easy do you think it would be to talk your son into killing his mother?
No.
Yeah.
He was...
Like, this sounds unrealistic to me is what I'm getting at.
I know what you're saying. He was in love with a girl down the road, and then the mother wants to take them away, and she wants to ruin our family. And so
it's hormone-driven.
Yeah, kind of. And gotcha. Then, like, so, you know, like, this is the only way, and this and that and everything. And I guess he was never close to his mother. I don't know.
But, except when he stabbed her.
Yeah.
Get pretty close for that.
But they, you know, they end up killing her and hiding the body and then this and that and then trying to make it look like that. You know, and they get away with it, essentially. And then, of course, it just then a series of unfortunate events keeps unfolding. And
I missed that show.
Yeah, and then there's a ghost side of it. And then there's rats involved. And it's pretty solid.
Mm.
It's pretty solid. It's like an hour and a half long.
Yep.
It's pretty solid. I mean, it's not the greatest movie ever told, but it's a pretty solid flick. Mm. I mean, if you can throw it on while you're doing some work sometime, it might keep your attention.
All right.
But I enjoyed it.
Good.
I enjoyed it. And I will say this, and I know I talked about it a while ago, but Gerald's Game was another Netflix original recently. That's excellent. That's based on Stephen King. You should probably check that one out.
Okay.
I would sell that more than 1922.
Gerald's Game?
Yeah, Gerald's Game. I know I talked about it. It's about a woman.
No, it sounds familiar. I'm thinking of Ender's Game.
Oh, Ender's
Game. I was like, yeah. That's not a Netflix original, but no, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Husband straps his wife to a bed and has a heart attack and dies.
And she has to try to get away.
Yes. And it's a good flick. Yep. It's a good flick. And then after that, I was like, oh, well, let me put this on. And
so, wait, you were supposed to be falling asleep.
Well, I know, but 1922 was apparently good enough to kept me up.
Okay. So now you had to put something on really
quickly. So now it's like at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, I really need to go to bed, or 3 in the morning.
I'll put on another movie.
So I put on The Wheelman.
Okay.
Another Netflix original flick. And it stars Frank. Shit. He's a guy from The Purge. Okay. Last couple Purge
Frank
movies.
Frank Dacascos or something?
Something like that. Basically.
Wasn't he Captain America?
Yeah, he was in that.
I want to say Crossbones.
He was the Bay. Yeah. So, anyways, basically, he's the wheel man for a bank job.
Okay.
And he gets a phone call saying, like, I'm the guy that's handling this, and those guys are going to kill you because I told them to kill you. So as soon as they put the money in the car, you take off. So basically, it's a double cross of a double cross.
Okay.
And he gets himself in a lot of hot water, and it's really not his fault, but like. There's a mob war going on. There's a double cross of a double cross, and he's kind of stuck in the middle, and he's trying to figure out who he can trust or what he can do or what he can figure out. And most of the movie is just him in a car by himself driving around and then talking on the phone to other people. One of them is including Garrett Dillahunt. I got to say, honestly, like, it's not a horror movie. I just thought it's a really well-done movie, though. It's a good story. It's well written. I mean, I think visually it looks great.
So now it's 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, and I watched the whole thing, and then finally I was like, I should go to bed now. But I was really impressed with it. Like, I didn't expect much.
Yep.
That's why I threw it on, and I thought, oh, this will make me fall asleep. It was really, really well done. Good, like I said, a good story, some good action, you know, and near the end, you know, I'm not going to say the good guy prevails, but, you know. He gets out of hot water.
Nice.
But yeah, I liked it a lot.
Thanks.
I would give that a hard sell. Like, you should check it out.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I watched, not that night, but the other day, a buddy of mine I met online, Brandon, he has a blog called 90s Horror Movie Reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a review of a fan film, and he even commented, like, I don't do fan films, but this one I'd seen, and they had a Kickstarter and everything, and it's called Never Hike Again.
Okay.
It's on YouTube, so you can queue it up on YouTube and watch. It's about 55 minutes long, and basically it's a Friday the 13th story.
Okay.
It's about this guy who does, like, video logs or vlogs or whatever, of him doing different hikes and everything, and he stumbles across Camp Crystal Lake. And then he stumbles across Jason Voorhees.
But he's not named Jason Voorhees? Or is he literally?
Oh, no. It's literally like you see Jason. You see. You don't hear. Ma, ma, ma.
Okay.
But it's. So, you know. But it's Jason. And trying to kill him. And they get into a fight. And then this happens. And then there's kind of a weird twisty ending where Tommy Jarvis shows up. And Tommy Jarvis was the Corey Feldman character that kind of was involved in parts 4 and 5.
Yep.
Now he's an older man who drives an ambulance.
Tommy Jarvis. Yeah.
Okay. Well, people may not know. I know you haven't watched The Jung yet, so I don't really want to give it away because I honestly think you should watch it. Like, legitimately.
I think I should too.
But I really, really enjoyed this. Like, you know how much you enjoyed the little fan movie Batman vs. Predator?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you know, that was an excellently done short fan film. This is an almost an hour long fan film. The style in which it's shot is it's cut between the kid's GoPro camera.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of found footage-ish. However, it's intercut with a regular, like, movie camera. You know what I mean? So you're getting his point of view and the point of view of the camera plus, like, Jason's point of view watching him.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Cool. It is. It was done really, really well. And, like, the fight scenes with this kid and with Jason is believable, actually.
Okay.
And it's interesting because usually when you're watching Friday the 13th flick, there's a whole group of people he's killing, a whole group of people involved. This is literally a one-on-one. So it's a lot different. And until the end, but it's literally for the majority, it's a one-on-one type of thing. And it, so it gives a really cool perspective, but it was shot well. It looks good. The story was good. The acting was actually really good on it. I mean, I was very, very impressed overall with this.
Nice.
Yeah, I really liked it a lot. I mean, this is probably of the movies I'm talking about, I probably hardest sell The Babysitter first and then this. And then, like, The Wheelman and then 1922 if I was going to go in an order.
Okay.
Yeah, I really, really, really liked it a lot.
Nice.
Yeah. You have any other shows you want to talk about?
No.
Any movies?
Not really, no.
Any news?
A little bit of news.
I got a little bit of news.
That's about it.
What you got?
They announced the cast of the new live-action Lion King that Jon Favreau will be directing, like he did The Jungle Book.
Yeah.
So, going to run them down for you, because The Lion King has a special place in my heart. That was the first official date that I took my first ex on, you know, the one that I spent so many years with.
Right, right.
Really loved the movie, really felt a strong connection to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know it's basically just a retelling of Hamlet, but still, you know, it was a good movie. So, Simba will be voiced by Donald Glover.
So, real quick, it's live action, but it's going to be mostly CGI, I would assume.
Yeah, think about The Jungle Book that he did.
I know, but there was a person in that, at least.
Yeah.
There's no people in this.
Nope.
It's still a cartoon, then.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's still animation.
Yep.
You know, like, Beauty and the Beast was live action.
Yep.
Maleficent was live action.
Yep.
There's no people in this.
Nope.
It's not live action. It's just really fancy.
Unless they're going to train the lions to stand
in different spots. I kind of call bullshit on this one.
I guess we'll have to see the trailer and see.
You can't really call it live action.
If it's all CGI, I agree.
Yeah, you can't really call it live action.
Because if there's nobody playing opposite the people, I get what you're saying.
You know?
Maybe more, how about realistic?
Okay.
A realistic retelling rather than an animated.
All right.
Maybe we could go with that instead of live action.
All right. All right.
So anyway, Simba will be Donald Glover. Love Donald Glover.
Oh, yeah.
Great guy. Pumbaa will be Seth Rogen.
Okay, I can get behind
that. The farting warthog.
Yeah.
Billy Eichner, do you know who that is?
No.
Billy on the Street. He's like a too big guy, you know. His Billy on the Street thing is kind of weird, where he goes out and like gets in people's faces or dares them to do stuff. It's kind of weird, but he's going to be Timon. I'm going to save the best ones for last.
Okay.
Rafiki,
mm-hmm.
you know, the monkey.
Yep.
That's going to be John Connie. Not quite sure who that is, but Zazu, the toucan, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, the one that kind of watched over him. That's going to be John Oliver.
Okay.
Yeah. Nala will be voiced by Beyonce.
Okay.
Yeah, I can kind of get behind that. Sarabi, you know, Mufasa's wife.
Yeah.
That's going to be Alfre Woodard.
Okay.
Yeah. Kamari. I'm not sure who Kamari is. I don't recognize the name from the first one, but that's going to be Keegan-Michael Key. Scar, and I always butcher this name, but Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Okay, he was the operative.
Yes.
On Serenity.
Yes. Yeah. And he's been a lot of stuff, and he's going to have a really cool voice as Scar.
I keep going back to the operative on Serenity.
That's the first place I go as well. But, I mean, he was most recently in he was Mordo in Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's going to have a cool
voice. Right, but still, the operative.
Yeah. And then Mufasa.
Yeah.
Now, Mufasa is iconic.
Yes.
You know, you can't beat James Earl Jones as the voice of Mufasa.
Sounds like this is going downhill.
I mean, who else would you get other than James Earl Jones to be the voice of Mufasa? To have him be like, you know, all that you look upon is yours.
Not Tony Todd. David Keith or Keith David.
Ooh, that would be a good choice, actually. You
know? Yeah.
They decided to go a little safer, though.
Okay.
So they decided that for the voice of Mufasa, they just stick with tradition, and it would be James Earl Jones.
Oh, okay. That's pretty badass. Yeah.
I'm like, Donald Glover, this guy. James Earl Jones, fuck that.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be like saying, you know, well, who's going to play Darth Vader? I don't care if he's in the grave, it's James Earl Jones.
It's James Earl Jones. You know? Yeah, basically, that's his voice, yeah.
Yeah, that's Darth Vader. That's Mufasa.
Absolutely.
So,
I want to plug a website real quick. I mentioned it earlier, but I have it in front of me. It's my buddy Brandon's website. It's called 90shorrorreview.blogspot.com, and it's 90s horror review. I really like how he formats it. Okay. Each post that he formats it, he starts out with, he's pretty spoiler free too, but he's basically starts out with, on his average post, hold on. I'm going to get the format up here.
Okay.
So he starts out with my history with the film, what the film is about, non-spoiler, what I like about it, what I didn't like about it, additional notes, and then his rating. And, they're really well-written, really thought out. I'm almost jealous how well-written they are. And especially, when he talks about his history with the film, it's kind of like, all right, that makes sense. But, yeah, so each movie or whatever is formatted that way. It's really well written. It's really good. I enjoy reading it. And that's how I found a few different movies recently. But, his review of The Babysitter, right on par with us.
Nice. And but then, wait. His site's called 90s Horror Movie Review.
Well, okay, yes, that's true. Blogspot. But for the Halloween season, he's doing current stuff. And then he's going to go back to just doing 90s, But... The Never Hike Again, that's, again, where I found out about that. And then I started reading it, and I'm like, I'm just going to go watch it. And, yeah, so.
Nice.
Yeah, his mentality of what he likes is really on par with us.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's probably why I like reading it so much.
Makes sense.
John Carpenter did an interview and basically said that the new Halloween movie, which comes out next year, it is – it was rumored that it was just going to pick up where part two left off, the original part two, and ignore everything else in the history of it, and he's confirmed it.
Okay, no, I was thinking that part two was Season of the Witch, but no,
part three was Season of the Witch. Yeah. So basically he's confirmed it that, he's going to ignore all the other installments in the Rob Zombie ones, and that's how he can bring Jamie Lee Curtis back as Laurie Strode, because she's not dead.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then the new Terminator movie.
Uh-huh.
It sees...
This is the James Cameron one.
Yeah. Schwarzenegger, Linda Hamilton, James Cameron are all back. And again, this new movie is going to take place after part two, and everything else is going to be ignored. The rest of the movies, the TV show, everything else after part two is going to be ignored. And it's just going to pick up right after that. And it's supposed to simplify the...
Mythos?
The mythos of the Terminator movies, because they got really freaking complicated.
They did, yes.
Yeah. They got exponentially complicated.
Yeah.
But they're going to ignore everything, and yeah. And A Christmas Story Live is coming to Fox on December 17th. I'm excited about that. So
I hope they can do it right.
Hope so. I mean, they've been doing a musical now for a few years. I'd love to go see it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be as good as Evil Dead, the musical. No. But
few things will be.
So I do want to close out episode number 83 by talking about Jigsaw.
Okay.
Because I went and saw it today.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, I had no power.
Yeah.
I had no heat.
Okay.
Wife was at work.
Yeah.
Kid was at daycare.
Yeah.
You were at training.
Yeah.
I was sitting in a 57 degree house.
Fair enough.
So I went and saw Jigsaw.
Okay.
I'm going to say this.
Okay.
Stop listening if you don't want to ruin the movie, because I'm going to ruin it.
Okay.
Because this is a movie where I'm going to say, John, don't bother going to the theaters.
I was already of that mindset.
Yeah. But I saw all the others in theaters. I want to go see this one. So yep. I legitimately mean stop listening, because we're not going to talk about anything else. Wait, we're going to talk about one thing. There was a trailer for Proud Mary. Have you seen that yet?
No.
It's with Taraji Henson.
Taraji P. Henson.
Yeah, it's with her. Other than it takes place in Massachusetts and she's some sort of hit woman or something, I have no freaking clue what it's about. The trailer did nothing to make me want to watch it, and only raised more questions as to what this is. So that was dumb. And then there was another trailer for the Ender's Game movie, or not Ender's Game, some Maze movie sequel.
Oh, The Maze Runner.
Yeah. Yeah. A sequel to The Maze Runner. And, I don't care. So, yeah. But anyways, so all right. So this movie, what I liked about the first Saw movies were, the first one was that it was low budget, guerrilla filmed, great cast, actually, with Cary Elwes and Danny Glover and everything, yeah, surprisingly. But, like, you know how the first Matrix movie was so good because it was so dark and dirty and everything? And then same thing with Underworld. And after that, they became bright and shiny and ridiculous. And I don't care how bloody and battle they get, their outfits were still bright, shiny, reflective. And it was too polished. And the one good thing about the Saw movies was with each one, it still looked like that dark, dirty, low-budget movie that was filmed on a shoestring budget and everything. You know what I mean? And they never got that bright, shiny look to them. This fucking movie starts out with a car chase. It ends in a crash and then a foot race. Okay? And it's bright and shiny.
Hmm.
And even the testing rooms are odd and everything's thrown off. And then I'm going to ruin it right now.
Go for it.
I'm telling you people, I'm ruining it. Jigsaw's in the movie because he's in the movie 10 years ago. So they're what they're doing is they're presenting you Jigsaw's first ever game that he played, but it's intercut with current times because they want to make a new Jigsaw. They want to continue the series.
Who is they?
The producers of the movie.
Oh.
Lionsgate,
so this wasn't like
Twisted.
This wasn't
Pictures.
Like somebody who was in the background who's like trying to resurrect him. Or
no. This was basically we learned that Jigsaw's first apprentice was this medical examiner who used to be a soldier in Fallujah, and now he became a medical examiner. And that was his first apprentice before
the girl.
Before Shawnee Smith, before the police officer. It was this guy. And, of course, we never saw him in the other movies. So, essentially, you're watching this movie.
He's cousin Oliver.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you're watching this movie, and you think you're watching current times. And you're watching these people that are woke up in a room, and they have a bucket on their head, and they get pulled to this wall that has blades in it. And you think you're – and as they progressed from that room, to the next test, to the next test, I'm watching this, and I'm like, it doesn't have that Saw feel. It doesn't look like the original Saws. The original Saws were gritty. The original Saws, like, there was more rules. It made more sense. You're hearing Jigsaw's voice.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing Billy the Puppet, but it's a cruder-looking Billy the Puppet. And it's just like, why they try to change it? And then by the end of it, it's like, oh, this is his first ever game he played. This is his first ever test. So, like, he fine-tuned things after this one. See what I mean?
Gotcha.
And you have the medical examiner who is examining these bodies. And basically what you find out, the throwaway of it all is the whole parts you're watching. And then when Jigsaw reveals himself that he's there and he's talking to the people, and it's not just video recordings. It's not just the tapes. And that's the other thing. People know what tapes are. And I'm like, not in this day and age.
Right.
Because this takes place before the first movie.
Gotcha.
And the reason why – and everyone that's in there, like – and there's a big thing where he pulls the hood off and the girl looks at him and goes, John? And she doesn't say Jigsaw, doesn't say anything, just says John. And that's because we find out that was his neighbor that he put in this room. And, you know, and for the evil thing that she did. And so, yeah, basically what they're trying to do is the big reveal at the end of the movie is that medical examiner – in current times, redid the first game that Jigsaw did, so that way he could present the bodies. We never see, and the bodies are so dismembered, we never actually, when we see them in current times, we can't tell that it's not the person that we just saw die. And essentially, basically, this is the long and the short of it. The medical examiner, his wife was killed a couple of years ago, and he's pissed off because this criminal informant who killed his wife, he's an informant to this cop who is a piece of shit cop, crooked cop. And this is all, this whole is a big elaborate plan to get back at that crooked cop. And he does. And that's the big reveal at the end, that the medical examiner is actually the bad guy. His assistant is a, like, Jigsaw groupie junkie girl who thinks he's great and loves him and everything. And there's a point in the movie where, like, she's like her alibi for where she was one day when one of the guys was killed was she was home alone, but actually she was at her workshop, at her gallery, she calls it. And she takes the man and her boss to the gallery to show him. And it's all basically like a big tribute to Jigsaw. And it's all things that like she had built, like some of his traps that she reconstructed herself or whatever. She's just fascinated with him and what he did and whatnot. And then you see this one contraption that like, that doesn't look familiar. And she tells a story of like, oh, well, rumor is that that is a trap that Jigsaw built. And it was one he did before his first one, or he never got around to using, or this, that, whatever. I bought the plans online. He's like, sounds like you got crooked. You got rooked. And then we see the trap later on. So, yeah, that's the big reveal.
Hmm.
That basically what we're watching, so the reason how they got Tobin Bell to be in the movie as Jigsaw is that this is his first ever game. So it looks completely different from all his other games because he hasn't fine-tuned it yet. And that the medical examiner was actually in the first game, and John had a change of heart suddenly and helped him survive through it somehow. And yeah, so that's kind of crappy too. And then becomes a mentor to him and this and that. And of course, you know, now John's been dead 10 years and the guy hasn't done anything for a decade. But now that he wants to get back to this cop, he's going to recreate Jigsaw and bring him back. And it almost seems like they're setting up so they can do like a Jigsaw 2, and now it's this medical examiner who's taking the lead. But I kind of hope they don't. I'd rather see him just to make an honest-to-goodness prequel instead of making like a prequel that's tied into current times and that's going to be their big reveal. But, you know, everything, even from the opening graphic, the Twisted Pictures graphic was shiny and kind of newer and better looking, and the look and the feel of the film didn't have that down and dirty look, and everything kind of looked shiny and polished, and it's kind of depressing. Because I really enjoy the other Saw movies.
My training really sucked today, but I'm kind of glad that I had it.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I missed anything there.
Yeah, I can
honestly... It's a disappointment.
Yeah, I can honestly say that, you know, there's no sense going.
No?
No.
No, doesn't sound like it.
No.
Like, I'm not upset at all that you put all the spoilers out there, because it kind of saves me some time and energy.
Yeah, I know. It was kind of disappointing. Yeah. It really was. Like, I was so excited to see it. And then right from the get-go, I was like, this is shiny and glossy and big budget looking. And, like, you know, even the douchebag detective, he drives like a fucking 67 muscle car. So how can he even sneak up on anyone? Yet he manages to, you know, it's just kind of like, it screams douchebag, and it just... You know, even the twist, when they finally revealed the twist, it made me go, oh, okay. That's stupid. And then, like, you know, like when we see Jigsaw at the end of the first movie, when Jigsaw gets off the floor, and he's got that gravelly voice, and he says, your key isn't there. You know what I mean? And then even later on, when you have Detective Hoffman and... You know, he's doing the monologues or something.
Right.
Even he has that gravelly looking voice and everything. But this guy, when he's doing it, he just sounds kind of like this, and it's not threatening or whatever. And it's just kind of weird sounding. And I'm like, it doesn't sound right.
Right.
And of course, they try to mimic him like closing the door at the end or whatever, like they do at the end of the first one and like the fifth one or whatever. But it doesn't have that same effect. And again, everything's so bright and shiny and just clean looking, and it's not dark and dingy and dirty. And
see, for me, I loved the first Saw.
I thought
it was great. It was psychological, and it wasn't overly bloody. There was some blood and gore, but it wasn't like the main focus.
Right.
The second one, I liked it. I thought that it was really a good continuation. Starting from the third one on, I started not liking them more and more, each one, because they just went for the gore aspect. It was like, what new way? And I know that they explained it off like it was her or it was the cop or whatever, but they were just like, I still remember the whole Dina Meyer being ripped open thing, you know, after sticking her hands in the acid, and just like, oh, there's no reason for it to, oh, but it went off anyway. It was meant to go off. She never could have gotten herself out.
Right. And this was her execution. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just, they kept finding new ways to just grossly kill people.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to do that, I'm going to watch like a Friday the 13th, you know, not something that's supposed to be a psychological thriller.
Right. No, the first Saw movie was amazing.
Yes.
Absolutely. And the second one was like, oh, okay. And then, like you say, you're like, I mean, like, I still watch them. I still enjoy them. Mm-hmm. The last part, the final chapter, whatever it was, that was my least favorite of the original series.
Yep.
But man, now this one is, and it's almost
so
like,
it's continuing the tradition.
Kinda, and it's almost like, man, if they make another movie and it's still like with this guy, and they,
yeah,
it's kind of disappointing.
I hear you.
Anyhow, I guess that's it for me.
Yeah, I don't really have much else to talk about.
All right, well, cool. We will have more shows to talk about next week that hopefully. We apparently didn't watch this. Well, yeah, it depends on how much we can get through before...
Dude, if I don't get power back for a while, it's going to be a short week for me.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But anyhow, either way, drop us a note or message or a line if you want to. I'm at the Twitter. I'm at Superstar Mel.
I'm at the Quantum Geek, G33K.
The show is at What Did You Watch? The Facebook is What Did You Watch This Week? And thanks.
Thanks, everybody. Talk to you next week.